Thank you, Claire. Good evening. Some of you may have heard other people, or perhaps even you have one yourself, talking about a rule of life. This is often people who are linked with monasteries. And some of my friends, particularly a couple of friends from college, are in what is known as a new monastic order, which sounds very severe and serious, but it's actually not. It is quite serious, but it's not severe. And what these rules of life are is something that they have chosen, something that flows from the heart of what their monastic order is about. Perhaps that is generous hospitality or mission, and they choose their own rule of life. Please don't panic if you're thinking rule of life does not sound good. We're not talking about rule of life tonight. I'd really like to think about a rhythm of life tonight as we approach this passage. Our youngest son turns 6 next week, and I don't know when I stopped doing this, but for a long time after my boys had stopped being babies, I would find myself rocking in the supermarket line, back and forwards, or pushing the trolley, rocking the trolley, or swaying as I made dinner. I think I have stopped doing it most of the time, but that rhythm, that back and forth had really become a complete second nature to me. I didn't even know I was doing it. And it was a rhythm that I used in love and sometimes desperation to comfort the boys, to get them to sleep, to get them just to settle. I think that we can all feel some kind of rhythm. Trains clattering, old-fashioned trains clattering over railway sleepers. A pendulum swinging on a grandfather clock. They have the most beautiful sound and tempo going. Or if you're a runner, which I am not, the pace as your steps hit the ground. My husband is a keen runner and he counts his pace. It is absolutely key to how he runs. So I'd like you just for a moment to think about a rhythm that is familiar to you, but an alternating one, a one to another rhythm. Just a back and forth, the tick-tock of a clock, or one of those Newton's cradles, which I discovered they were actually called that this week, where you pick up the metal ball and you drop it, and whatever the physics is, it runs through to the other side, and the ball comes up, and it swings back and forth and back and forth. Doesn't matter what it is, just think about that pattern in your head for a moment. And it doesn't matter how fast it is. It doesn't matter if you're sprinting or it's more of a plodding, a slow back and forth is good. It just needs to be an even rhythm, one and the other. If you are wondering what any of this has got to do with today's gospel from Matthew, it's this. Jesus asks Andrew and Simon and James and John to follow the call and to call the followers. To follow the call and to call the followers, one and the other, both of them. When Jesus calls Andrew and Simon, he says that he will make them fishers of men. Some English translations, I can't remember what we actually heard tonight, say, I will make you fish for men. But there is a minor distinction here, which I think is quite important about how we understand what it might mean to follow Jesus. I'm a bit of a language geek, and the Greek text, uses the same word for fishermen in both of those verses. They're both plural nouns, if you're that keen on languages. So they are still fishermen. This isn't changing who they are. It is not their function that has changed. It is their identity that has changed. Jesus knows that these men are fishermen, and he's calling them to follow him as themselves, using something that they understand and is rooted in who they are. For Andrew and Simon and James and John, this business of being a fisherman was not just a 9-to-5. This was their whole life. It would have been hugely all-encompassing, and we know that some of them were involved as a family business. This was just tied up in all of them. Definitely, some people have huge, dramatic life changes, career changes, lifestyle changes when they meet Jesus. But I think for most of us, We carry on our function as we were before, but it is our identity that has changed. And the way we carry out our function has changed, and the purpose has changed. So we see these four fishermen being called to follow Jesus. They abandon what they were doing to be his disciples. But these were just the first of Jesus' disciples, and we know that later they were joined by Matthew, a tax collector, who seems an odd ally for some fishermen. I can't believe that is a natural co-worker. We have one calling, just as the disciples in their difference had one calling, to worship God by being followers of Jesus. But the way this works out in practice is different for all of us. Simon and Andrew, the two brothers. Simon is a Jewish name, and Andrew, I believe, is a Gentile name. So perhaps their family had mixed heritage in it, or they just liked the names, or perhaps it's because of where they were based geographically. They were living in a Jewish area that was actually surrounded by Gentile Bethsaida. So Jesus is calling everyone. He's calling the Jews and the Gentiles to be in his kingdom and to serve him. And when Jesus called these first disciples, that wasn't the end of their story. That wasn't it. They lived with Jesus for 3 years until his death, constantly hearing his voice and being challenged by him. Just look at the number of times in the Gospels where Jesus has to say, "You don't get it, do you? You're not listening." And he has to follow, he has to call them to follow him again and again and again, more and more closely. We are not just called as a one-off event, set off like a clockwork toy and left. We are called again and again and again. Sometimes it might feel like we are being called to different places, to do different things, and sometimes that calling feels so close. You feel like God's inside you, and sometimes you think, "I can barely hear that." But he is calling you. God speaks, and he is faithful in truth of his calling. When you put yourselves forward for discerning a call to ordination in the Church of England, it is a very long process. You spend a long time with the diocesan director of ordinands or the vocations advisor, and then you go to BAP, the panel, and if they say, "Yes, we recommend you for training," they have recommended you for training. I am still in the discernment process. I am very much hoping that I will be ordained deacon in June, but there is still a chance that the bishop will say, "No, we have discerned differently for you." It's not a one-off calling. I'm constantly looking at my discernment with those in authority over me. I am constantly hearing his voice and listening to what it is he is calling me to. So we need to follow the call. Our first step, follow the call. But we need to call the followers as well. We hear that Jesus, right at the beginning of the gospel we read this afternoon, that Jesus had heard about the arrest of John the Baptist. If you don't know, this ends really badly for John, and he is beheaded. So we read that Jesus withdrew to Galilee, to Capernaum. It makes it sound a bit like Jesus was running away. He'd heard that John the Baptist was in trouble, and he was seeking safety. I don't think that that's it. I don't think Jesus was a safety seeker. He was a kingdom seeker. This is just chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel. Chapter 1 and 2 is Jesus' birth, the Magi. Chapter 3 is the baptism of Jesus. And then he's straight in to the temptation in the wilderness, 40 days being tempted by the devil. So John's been arrested. Jesus, also proclaiming repentance and the kingdom of God, has been in the wilderness for 40 days. This does not sound like an appealing movement that you might want to join. Jesus was the new kid on the block, preaching the kingdom of God, and he meets these fishermen and says, "Follow me, come with me." And they say, "Yes." It's so strange. And Matthew writes that they said yes immediately. I find this absolutely incredible. And some people say, oh, well, Andrew and Simon, they must have known about Jesus. They must have met him before. They must have heard his preaching. Maybe they read his book. I wonder whether that encounter with Jesus, that singular encounter, was enough for them to say yes. We don't seem to be able to accept that as a response today. It doesn't seem rational enough for our 21st century living. We just want to explain it away. But I don't think we always need to explain things for people to choose to follow Jesus. We just need to draw them near enough to encounter him. We wouldn't be here tonight if that weren't true. I hope all of you here have had that encounter with Jesus. And this isn't about building a Ponzi scheme. There is nothing that we gain by bringing others, apart from the joy of seeing other people come to know Jesus. It's all about him. We are called to call his followers. My ordination training is what we call mixed mode in the Church of England. I spend some time in college learning, I spend some time at home studying, and I spend some time in church doing. It can feel a little bit like being thrown in at the deep end when you first start, particularly, but it's so good to be able to see how your learning affects what you're doing in church, and you get to talk to people who are in different churches at your college and see how they're working out things, and it's really good. It's really, really good. And these disciples, as soon as Jesus has called them, they're into this mixed mode training. They are listening to his teaching as well as ministering with him. There is no finished product for these disciples. If we are disciples, if we are followers of Jesus, then we are learners, always learning but not waiting to put our learning into practice. We are able to do anything right now, right from the beginning of our calling. We're not waiting to be finished. Even if you only meet the living Jesus for the first time in this room tonight, the minute you walk out that door, you are called to call others to him, called to follow him and to show others that. These lands of Naphtali and Zebulun, we think, but hey-ho, pronounce it how you like, that are mentioned in verse 15, these are really special. These names hadn't been in use for 700 years. This was now Capernaum. These were places that had been overrun in Jewish history. And we believe that these two tribes, that these places are named after, Zebulun and Naphtali, that they were the first tribes to be taken by the Assyrians into captivity. This was a bad place in 700 BC. But the Lord had promised to be faithful and to bring freedom. The people in darkness had seen a great light. Even in these places, under colonizers and enemies, even in these places, God keeps his promises to the people living in the darkness. They have seen the light. His kingdom is on the move. Jesus stands in this place of persecution and terror in the history of these people, and he proclaims the kingdom of heaven, the freedom of all mankind. It's as if Meghan and Harry had chosen to go and live in Kosovo rather than Canada. Why would you go? Why would you go even to these places? Well, we're just out of Christmas. And what we sung a lot over Christmas was that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And God is with us even in these places. Literal, metaphorical places of darkness and oppression. He has come, and we are called to call more people into the light. Where are the places that we are standing at the moment in our lives that are dark, where we can proclaim this light, proclaim this coming kingdom, the places we might not even imagine that God is moving, but he is. When we read verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. We can call people to encounter Jesus and to follow him. We need to be calling the followers, and the Holy Spirit will be doing his work. We can be sure of that. We can be confident that whatever we do to show the love of God and to tell the story of love that is Jesus, that will be part of furthering this kingdom. So our rhythm of life, following the call and calling the followers, one and the other, just on a lovely even keel, is great. And sometimes that's fast, and sometimes it's really exciting, and sometimes it's slow, and it feels like you're wearing lead boots. And it's really hard. And sometimes it might be a little bit out of sync. It's not quite as rhythmic as it should be. And that is part of life. God speaks, and he is faithful, and his kingdom is coming. Good things are happening, and better things are going to happen. And that was what was so strange about this kingdom of heaven that Jesus was proclaiming. This kingdom, this rule and reign, not by violence and sword as had been the case in these lands before, but by love and the weapons of a fisherman, a net. So follow your call, whatever that is, and seek that call for yourselves and call others to follow too. Confident that he who has called you is faithful and will continue to be. Amen.